from Vision Australia Radio, it's time to open the cellar door and uncork a classic on Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Michael Hintz, the velvety voice of Vino, with another Heard It Through the Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio and coming to you nationally through the Community Radio Network. And that's hello from my producer, the ebullient James Lee, looking $1 million today, James. Today it's my pleasure to talk to the dynamic duo from the Mornington Peninsula, from Queerley Wines. It's Kevin and Tom McCarthy. Now, for those who don't know, the Queerley Wines are on the Mornington Peninsula. And welcome to Kevin and Tom.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, firstly, tell me about what you're doing together, as I believe you've got a project financed by Naked Wines and your father and son winemaking combination. So let's kick off with that. Tell me about how all that got going.
Well, it's very much a family business now.
Yes.
So Tommy came into the business quite a few years ago, and he has...
He doesn't look that old.
No.
He jumped in way too early.
That's the palm olive. Yeah.
And we have, as a family, been very interested in the various wines coming out of Italy, particularly up in northeast Italy.
Yes.
And right on the Slovenian border, there is some remarkable wine being made through the skin contact technique.
Yep.
And we have, together, Tommy and I pursued that with quite a bit of vigour and interest, and Tommy's now driving that project.
Yes. And Tommy, you've both been over there, of course. And worked,
yep.
Worked
many,
in,
yep. Many, many, many times. I went there first in 95.
Yep.
Tom?
Just a couple of years ago was my first time over there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had a few connections from there work with us as well, which I would say has been just as influential.
So what grape varieties are we talking about, and where are they planted, and how many hectares have you got planted?
Okay, well, it all started with Pinot Grigio.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes, the king of...
I'll let you tell that story.
Hail the king of Pinot Grigio.
No. Married to the queen.
Yeah. Well... Yes.
Anyway, same difference. That is roughly 30 years ago that we started that.
Yep.
And then, of course, going to Italy to learn more about Pinot Grigio, you find out all sorts of other things, including Friulano. So Friulano now is very important for us.
Now, how do you say that again?
Because Friulano.
Yes, it's Friulano.
Correct.
And that's named after the town,
the
isn't it?
The region? Friuli.
Friuli.
Yeah.
That's right, the region.
So, yep. And the sort of the epicenter, the great wines out of Friuli are coming from Collio.
Yep.
So that's where we tend to focus. And this is where Tom worked at Eddie Keber. And and of course, it's not just Pinot Grigio. There's many other varieties, and the Friulano has become very important. As I said, we've got Friulano now in the vineyard at home.
Yes.
We've just planted Malvasia, which is very important in Friuli.
Now, pronounce that or say that slowly.
Well, you can pronounce it a number of ways.
How do you spell it for those that are listening?
Tom?
M-A-L-V-I-S-I-A.
Sorry.
Malvasia, is it?
You can go both ways.
Yeah, okay.
Malvasia?
Well, in Australia you hear it as...
G'day, mate.
Yeah, it's pronounced very differently.
Malvasia?
Malvasia.
Yeah, you hear that?
Malvasia. Yep.
But the point is that in Collio, in Friuli, it makes glorious wine, and it works very well with skin contact.
Right. Now, for those that don't know, where is the region of Friuli?
Well, if you know where, it's the top of the Adriatic, so think of Trieste.
Trieste, yes.
And just go a little bit north.
North there. Yeah. So it gets the maritime climate of the Adriatic.
Yep. Exactly.
I think it's important to note as well that it's half Italy, half Slovenia.
Yeah.
Right.
It's on the hinterland there. So the main region that we're talking about is Collio.
Yep.
But just across the border is a region called Brda, B-R-D-A, and they're of equal importance.
Yeah. Right. It's really one.
It's one region.
Yeah.
And the people associate a lot with each other.
Now, it's the growth of, once upon a time, it used to be French varietals now, but the growth of Italian varietals, people are still coming to terms of, there must be thousands of varieties in Italy. I mean, it's you need your Jancis Robinson book out.
Yeah, I think it's like 6,000 or something.
6,000. Yeah. And, of course, the trouble with them in Australia is people don't know when they're out at the restaurant how to pronounce some of the names.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of say, well, I'll have a bottle of that, please, or I'll have what. But that aside, they're making some marvellous wines, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yep. It doesn't matter where you go in Italy, there's something, a treasure, that you're, I've never heard of that before.
And isn't it nice to go to Italy and not to meet a fellow Australian? The last thing you want to do is get off the plane and bump into someone from down the road.
True.
Yeah, and, now, anyway, back on to take us through this wine, this 2014. What do you call a turbel?
Friuliano. So turbel, the name originated. So we had in 2012, we had a young guy working with us called Nick from Friuli.
Yes.
And we made one barrel of this wine, just as a bit of a play around trial type thing, I guess.
Yes.
And turbel is just the Friulian dialect for cloudy, turbid.
Ah, turbid. Yes, should have guessed that. Yes, yeah, get your brain into gear.
Latin,
or very Latin. And you guys would know about that, wouldn't you? Yes.
Not me.
I think Kevin Stuhl got a copy of Winnie the Pooh in Latin, I think. I said. Anyway, now take us through the flavour. We're having fun today, aren't we, folks? I hope you're really enjoying this. Now, take us through the flavour profile. Take us through this wine, please, Tom, because you're the one that... It's your baby, really.
I guess the point of this wine is that it's been left on its skins. So it's a white wine that is...
A bit cloudy?
Yeah, and it's essentially made like a red wine. So it's tannic. It's got a lot of grip or phenolic.
Yes.
It does seem with that skin contact that white wines tend to become, I think, a little more floral. So the fruit drive sort of seems to drop away a little bit.
So it's some of the Rhone whites are like that, a bit phenolic, aren't they? The Roussanne and the Viognier can be Marsanne.
Absolutely.
And Australians tend to say, oh, the first glass, that's nice. And they get to the second glass and the phenolics start throwing them a bit. Exactly. Thank you, Kevin. Yes, it's not a quaffer, is it?
No, it's not good for binge drinking.
That's a naughty word. Binge drinking. Dear, oh dear. No, so this is very much a food wine. I think it's a cousin. It could be related to the famous Claudius from Tegelant that your father made.
Well, there's obviously a connection.
Yes.
And that experience. That experience with the Claudius was invaluable. And it all gets back to the same inspiration. I've got to mention Gravner, of course.
Yes.
So on the Italian-Slovenian border is, for us, the greatest producer of these wines, Josko Gravner. And it was seeing him. Kathleen and I went to the region in 2006, and we first encountered those wines and said, there's something here we've got to explore.
Mm-hmm.
So 2007 was the first skin contact. Yep. Wine we made.
Yep, and the skin contact, Tom, take us through that again. It's just a bit more assertive, a few more tannins. You're saying like a red wine.
Essentially like a red wine, yeah.
And what would you serve it with? What would you pair it
with?
This
is often, I guess, drunk, like in Friuli, they often have it with, the Friulana variety is often at the start of the meal or just like, after work or whatever, and just salty things. Really good with like prosciutto, anchovies, that sort of stuff.
Right, it's strong enough too. And how much of it have you made in this, the 2014 vintage?
Too much, I think. We've made about 300 dozen. So it's not huge production.
300 dozen. I can't count. I lose count at 100 dozen. 300 dozen. How many is that? How many bottles is that?
100 dozen times 3, I guess. Right.
Thank you. Yes. We're having fun today, folks. And is this mainly sold on-premise or is it sold retail?
Yes,
where can people try it and get it? Because, we talk about all these wines and, of course, people are sitting out there and preparing their dinner and saying, that's nice, but where can I get the stuff? Where can they get it apart from online?
Apart from at Queerly's website.
Yes.
It's
what's the website address?
Queerly, Q-U-E-A-L-Y.
Q-U-E-A-L-Y. They're writing this down, yes.
.com.au.
Queerly.com.au. And what about retail if you want to,
You can pick this wine up at Black Hearts and Sparrows.
Oh, yes, in Brunswick, are they?
There's a few stores around there. There's one Fitzroy, Brunswick, and there's one down on St Kilda Road.
Ah, right. For this side of the river.
The other side of the river, yeah.
Yep.
I guess just at a few sort of restaurants and stuff
in the city. Any restaurants that...
It's pouring at Rosetta.
Rosetta, yes.
I feel like I should... There's a few more, but they're not jumping to my head.
Yep.
It's on...
Punchline? Is that a punchline?
It's on tap, actually. We have a couple of kegs of it.
on tap. Now, wine on tap?
At a place called Clever Polly's in North Melbourne, which is a
Polly's
very...
aren't clever. Clever Polly's.
You'd have to ask them.
Yeah. Right. Clever Polly's, where's that?
North Melbourne.
Where's North Melbourne? Oh, yeah, I know where North Melbourne is. Yes. Yeah. Clever Polly's on
tap.
Clever
Polly's on tap.
What a good idea.
That's a really cool little place, actually. That's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. And what's planned for the future? So what you've got the 2014 vintage. What else are you doing?
What else are we doing? We're doing lots
of
things.
Well, as I said, we've planted the Malvasia. That's very exciting, but that's still 2 years off production.
Yeah. And what's the characteristic of that grape? What's that?
More floral. To me, it's not quite right, but it links with a musket character. You've got really glorious, lifted fruit, muskety character. Mm-hmm. But the other really exciting
Not as intense, though. No. The musket's not as intense, which I think is nice.
Yeah. But then you get this wonderful phenolic character as well. But the really exciting variety that is in Australia, but there's only five vines, is Rebola Jala. So if you talk to
Rebola, it's not a footballer who plays for Argentina, or no. Say
Jala,
this again.
Jala. Yellow.
Rebola.
Rebola Jala.
Jala.
It's very ancient.
Where is that from?
It's
got to be from the Eastern Europe. Is it from the same
region?
So really? Grosvenor is. Adamant that is the most important variety by far in the region. He's really going to... he's only white, not yet, but in the future will be made from Rebola Jala.
And what are the characteristics of that?
That is a good question.
It's a really interesting variety because without skin contact, it's like Riesling, but no flavour. It's like a blank page. But for some reason, once you...
Like Prosecco or Galera.
Yeah, something, yeah. Once you have the skin contact, it seems to pick up this crazy sort of stone fruit, apricot, I don't know, like...
Mm.
Yep.
It becomes a completely different animal.
So this is a way ahead yet. When do you plan the first vintage?
I reckon 6 years.
Oh, 6 years. Oh, gee.
But I think, there's other things. There is other things
I'll
happening.
Probably be, pushing up the daisies in 6 years.
Rubbish. Oh. We'll be talking about it.
Right.
Right here.
Right now. Yes.
But we're still, we're also doing a lot of, we've got a few new vineyards going, so we're...
Right, I'll be back shortly. We're going to have a short musical interlude and then we'll resume this Venus comedy hour, really, or half hour it is. I'll be back in a moment to talk to Kevin and Tom, and Tom and Kevin.
A bottle of white, a bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead. Get a table near the street in our old familiar place, you and I face to face. A bottle of red, a bottle of white, it all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
Well, welcome back. I hope you're still listening. Most intriguing program this morning. And we're talking about, well, talking to the ebullient Kevin and the ebullient Tom McCarthy from Queerly Wines on the Mornington Peninsula at, and you're probably wondering where that is. Well, we know where the peninsula is. They're at Balmaring, lovely part of the world. Now, back onto these Italian varieties. Max Lake's done a lot to promote alternative varieties, hasn't he?
Max Allen.
Yep. I'm sorry, I'm showing my age there.
No, wonderful man, Max Lake.
The first Max is no longer with us. The second Max, well and truly is, Max Allen. Yes, and his Future Makers book.
Yes. That was a very good book.
Good book?
Yeah, well, we got a lovely mention in that.
I believe you did, yes.
Focusing on the Claudius. So that was written before, I think he's seen the Turbo, but he really does see what is happening, because he's got that European, he's got the European eyes.
Yes.
He's from Europe, yeah.
Yeah, it was from England, isn't he? Yeah, well, yeah, some people regard England as part of Europe and others don't. Anyway, yes, there we go. This is a free-ranging, this is what you call a free-ranging program this morning. Usually you talk to winemakers and it's, hello, and how did you get into the wine, and what are you doing? But this is the most way-out program. But then again, Queerly's a way out. Now, we were talking about this other variety. Tell us what it is.
The Ribolla Gialla.
Yep. Mm. And that's on that. But you make this, you make it in small quantities. How do you sell it? Who buys it? Who knows about it? Because things are tough in the wine world today. We've got brands. How many brands have we got in Australia competing? You've got the retail duopoly, strangling retail. You've got online sales. You've got restaurants who are going into business and out of business who load their wine list prices obscenely because they're not making enough money on the food. And you've got to sort of get through this minefield to market your wine. How do you do it? Direct online?
We do a lot of things direct, but we sell nationally. So we do deal a lot with restaurants and, you know, bottle shops and all that sort of stuff. But I think although it's becoming more competitive and there's a lot more noise, there's also a lot more people getting into wine now.
Mm-hmm.
So the market's evolving. It's growing.
Yep.
I think as long as we're growing with it, it's all good.
But would the criticism be that for most of us, most of the wine world, drink bulk wine, and bulk wine flows around the world like the tides in huge containers. And a lot of people think all this nonsense talking about, you know, premium bottled wine, it's less than 1% of the market, whereas most people have their wine, drink it, couldn't care less where it comes from, they enjoy it, whatever. It must make it very tough for you because everybody's out there competing in a very small wedge to get this wine in front of people.
But I think it's always been that way. I think we've always perceived the market to be like that from day one when we started back in the 80s. You have to...
This is the 1980s for those listening.
And I think you just have to be so active in not just so much selling, but in communicating.
Communicating.
And I think that Kathleen's brilliant at that. And
communicating.
Getting the...
Oh, how is Kathleen? Yes.
She's wonderful.
Is she? Yes. Oh, good.
Yes. Getting
send her my regards. Now, I tell you who's doing, back to, on a serious note, I tell you who's doing some rather good work in clonal selection. Mm. And clonal selection is critically important with these new varieties, isn't it? Because you've got to have a clone that suits your particular terroir.
That's so true.
Is Wayne Farquhar at Deluva in the Barossa. Have you come across Wayne?
I haven't, but I've come across his wines, and they're fascinating.
They're pretty mean, aren't they? They're pretty good wines.
Very good, doing
well.
He
is obsessive, and you ought to go over there, and you guys ought to get together, because you'd have a... And the guy, of course, his mate Johnny Gilbert at Bijingo, he's making some good Italian varietal stuff.
Yeah, no, good point, yep.
So, what else is happening down on the peninsula? Who else is doing what? What's going on down there at the moment?
Well, of course, Pinot Noir is still hugely important.
Yep.
I mean, that would be the most important variety on the Moynihan Peninsula by far.
Definitely. Now, are there two sort of variants of Pinot Noir? I was going to say Cologne then. Pinot Noir on the peninsula?
It's a lot of variations on Pinot Noir on the peninsula.
But there's a maritime one and an inland one mainly, isn't there?
You could divide it up like that, but I think it's...
It's more,
exactly. You've got to look at sub-regions, which we're really working out, I think, as we speak, and we've got a way to go yet before we really understand what we've got on the Mornington Peninsula.
I think the huge difference for me, inland and next to the sea is big, but I think top of the hill and bottom of the hill, the difference you see there is pretty big. And year to year, you have different problems in both areas that have to be managed. So I think it's really important that you do have vineyards at the top and vineyards at the bottom, and it's really good to see the expression of both areas in your wines.
Yes, some pretty good Australian Pinots coming out. Have you had a chance to have a taste of the Toll Puddle from Shaw and Smith's from Tasmania?
Yep.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Very smart wine.
Yeah.
And it won a gong recently at, I think, the International Wine Show. Yep. So what else?
Well, we've just come out of 2015 vintage. You've
got to mention the
vintage.
Right.
I found it nerve-wracking. it wasn't easy. The weather was scary, but it held.
Now, how many vintages have you got under your belt all together now? How many have you
done?
First
vintage was 1980.
So what's that? 1980.
I think your last vintage was 2013, though, wasn't it?
Ooh.
there we go. And what about you, Tom? What about you, Tom? By the way, Tom looks like, in radio, I wish this was TV, Tom looks like Dermot Brereton on steroids. Now, how many vintages have you done?
Not as many, obviously. I think 2009 was my first real vintage.
And is it easy to work with your father? Is it like, I mean, I can remember learning to drive, and my father couldn't teach me how to drive because I knew everything, of course, being a young. Is it easy to work with Kevin, or is it? Do you have your moments?
Nah, it's not
too
bad.
Is that a yes
bad.
Or a no?
It's fairly easy. We work well
or
together, I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
And what have you learnt off Kevin since you started? If your first vintage was in 2010 and it's now 15, what have you learnt between when you started and now?
I think I'm still learning, but...
we're all
still
learning.
He's very good at being relaxed and not worrying too much. Sometimes I get a bit freaked out immediately.
Do you?
Time heals everything.
It's in the genes, is it? Right. He's relaxed, yes.
He's relaxed.
But what have you learnt? How would you describe your father as a winemaker? What sort of, you know...
I don't know. I guess a product of being the, you know, going to the university and learning the, but then going
you
overseas.
You go to university to have fun. You don't learn much at university, do you?
I think a product of, you know, like the textbook winemaking, but then having gone overseas, I guess eyes have opened a little bit and a lot.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a... I don't know. It's a mix
of everything.
And
what's the future for you two? Where do you see yourselves in 5 or 10 years' time? What's the vision?
Well, hopefully still doing what we're doing now, which is being at that cutting edge and with things like the Malvasia and the Rivolagiola.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed, those wines are good.
Yeah.
You don't know. It's very scary being where we are, I think, because you're always pushing into the unknown, which is what we did 30 years ago.
But that's your personality, though, isn't it? Very much.
And Kathleen's, yes.
And Kathleen's, yes.
Yeah.
What about, still talking about the peninsula, how much does the Mornington Peninsula as a region and different vignerons down there owe to the Higginbothams down there, Andrew and Taryn Higginbotham?
A lot. I am only on the peninsula because of them.
Yeah.
And, of course, Ian, Andrew's father, is a remarkable man, a legend in the wine industry.
Mm.
You know, he brought Wolf Blass to Australia.
Yes, I remember that.
He has worked everywhere.
Yep.
Been a very much a pioneer in so many things.
But for those that don't know, Taryn and Andrew helped propagate a lot of vineyards in the early days down at, there must have been dozens of vineyards down there.
Correct.
And they've never really got the... I think, the recognition they deserve in
some
ways. Yeah,
but Andrew isn't ever chasing that.
No, he's not interested. That's true. No.
And I think the other thing maybe was that Andrew was doing a lot before the boom.
Yes.
And didn't really ride the boom.
Yep.
It's those people who do all the work beforehand who don't really get much recognition.
Like the, yes. Yes. The pioneers get the arrows and the settlers get the pastures. Mm. Is that the...
Yeah, something like that.
There we go.
Speak. Yeah.
Ah, and finally, is Max Loder still with us?
No, unfortunately. No. Very sadly, died 3 years ago.
Because he was the one that inspired you guys.
Absolutely.
He's the father of Pinot Gris in Australia, really.
That's right. Yeah. He bought in the D1 V7 clone that we've all got. And brilliant work. A brilliant man.
I tell you, there's a great variety that's underrated. I had some the other day. Chenin Blanc had some from the West.
Totally agree with you.
Totalander, a Peel Estate, 2012, with a bit of wood. Magnificent.
Yeah, Coriol. Do a really good one.
Coriol. Ross Garrick up at Rutherglen. Or not Rutherglen, near Milliwa, there, Oxley, at the end of the King Valley. He does a rather nice Chenin. It's been underrated, hasn't it?
Completely forgotten. Yeah. You look at Vouvray and
you
realise how great it can be.
Yep. Well, look, our time's just about up. This has been the most interesting, entertaining, eclectic. We've, travelled everywhere, and yet we haven't gone apace today. But thank you very much, Kevin.
Pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for joining us again, because you were in. Welcome back to the show. And very nice to meet you, Tom. And all the very best. I'm looking forward to tasting some of these varietals. And meeting you again one day when the Malvasia is top of the pops.
Cheers. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Okay. Well, look, that's about your lot for now. You've been listening to or just missed Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio. My research material was sourced from my home library and a lifetime of gentle imbibing. This has been another Heard It Through the Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio. Heard on all stations around Australia via the Community Radio Network. It's cheers from me, Michael Hintz. And please... please drink moderately.
Heard It Through the Grapevine is a production of Vision Australia Radio. Sound information.